2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andreas Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at kslpodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Good morning and welcome back to the KSL Greenhouse. Maria Chaleos, Ton Bettis with you this morning. Today we are on location. We are with Ovation Homes out in West Point. With me this morning is Laurie Myers. Laurie, thanks for being with us and to talk about this beautiful home that you're calling a cottage.
Yeah.
Which, it, you know, when you walk in, it looks so spacious. The word cottage just doesn't seem to fit.
Yeah, thanks for having us. No, today, so the cottage is... If you come drive down the street from the outside, it looks like a cottage. And then you walk in and you're wowed by the space that's in here. This home that we're in here is about 2,250 square feet. Our designs are done as an open concept layout, so it can accommodate large families, all of the grandkids and everything like that. So bedrooms are great-sized showers. We can do... accessibility packages for people that need that. So it's a really great, great home.
Well, when I walked in, the first thing I noticed that, you know, my parents are getting along in age. And I just looked and I said, you know, they could get around really easily in here. It's wide enough space that, you know, whether it's a wheelchair or a scooter or a walker, if you're in that position, you know, it would work for that. But even just walking through, there is so much space in here that this room that we're in here with the kitchen and then the sitting area, you could accommodate a lot of people and not feel crowded.
Yeah, for sure. And that's one of the biggest design features that we have. When we're doing our design, we actually listen to our buyers. We review plans every 6 months. And if a buyer has requested something and we feel like that's a great concept, then we'll actually introduce that into our plans as well. So it helps get us where we need to be.
So who's the perfect person for this home?
Oh, any active adult. I mean, I'm kind of creeping up on that myself. So active adults, I mean, retirement, people who have actually retired and just want to enjoy their homes. This home is perfect for really anybody. This subdivision here that we're in, the community, is a 55 plus community. And so that's what we target, but anybody can buy these homes.
All right.
So.
Well, and when I was driving through here, it's really close to shopping. There's a Walmart just a couple of miles up the road, the all-important Walmart. But you have grocery stores, you have hardware stores, you have medical clinics, and everything you need. But when you get down here, it's quiet. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't have the hustle and bustle of all the development going on, you know, farther east. You get down here, and it just is a peaceful, nice feeling when you pull in. And it just is something that gives you a feeling that it's not that you're living in the country, you know, it is being developed and things, but it gives you that feel.
Right. And that's how all of our communities have been. So it's great. This community in specifically, we've got the 55 plus here, and then Aspire Homes is on the other side, which is families. And so it'll kind of
nice mix
combine and mm-hmm. mix that up. So
Ton, you're in your old stomping grounds. You gave me directions, got me right here. Give folks directions if they'd like to come out this morning.
Come down Antelope Drive off I-15 until you're almost at the entrance of Antelope Island by the pay booth. You don't want to go that far.
It's 4,000 west.
4,000. Then you'll go to the north. Then once you'll pass a church and a few things, but once you're in here, you're going to turn on... my GPS actually steered me a little bit wrong. It wanted me to turn into a farm field. So let's see here, Marie.
It really wanted you to be in your old stomping
grounds. Yeah, so yes, it really did. It wanted me to go pheasant hunting. But what I did is I just went on, once I was on 4,000, I turned onto 1315 South and then followed that about three roads down and then turned left on 4290 West and was right here.
It's perfect directions for me. Got me right here. And again, we are with Ovation Homes. We are at Harvest Fields. The cottage is at Harvest Fields. Come see us this morning. We have Mike who's waiting very patiently on the phone line. And Mike, good morning. How can we help you this morning?
Good morning. Good morning.
We're here. What can I do for you?
Well, so our front lawn, we've lived in our home 25 years, and it's been a very healthy bluegrass front lawn. But a couple of years ago, a patch about maybe 2 feet by 3 feet developed a much lighter green, very, very fine grass. It almost looks like the green on a golf course, but it's very light green. And we didn't think much of it, but now this year there are two or three other patches that are developing in our front lawn of that same nature. And I'm wondering if you have an idea what it might be and what I should do.
Well, are you an avid golfer or anybody in the family, do they golf a lot?
No, not at all.
Okay.
Don't have the patience for it.
Okay. Well, and the money, too. I guess you can sink money into almost any hobby. But the reason I ask is that sometimes you can get bent grass from golf courses on golf cleats and then sprig it into your lawn. And so if no one golfs, it's most likely another grass that looks very similar called annual bluegrass. So this annual bluegrass is very shallowly rooted. It kind of lays over and then pops up. And it's really light green and finely bladed. So the only way you're really going to get rid of it is to kill it out and then replace those areas with new seed or new sod.
Okay. All right. That's what I'll do. And kill it out with what?
With Roundup. That's about your option. Or another glyphosate product. But what you will do is kill those areas out. And it'll not match for a year or two, but I would get a few pieces of sod and plug it right back in so that you have a cover so that there's less opportunity for the seeds of that weedy grass to resprout.
All right. And how long after I use the Roundup do I need to wait?
Usually a week, but look at your label and it will tell you on there before how long you wait before you reseed or resod. Now, the other thing you're going to need to watch for is that once this starts in your lawn, that you're going to be playing cat and mouse with it so that you'll have another little patch pop up here or there. And when they're only 2 or 3 inches wide, they're a lot easier to dig out than when they're like they are now.
Right. Okay. All right. Well, thank you very much.
All right. Thanks for your call this morning. Our next listener, Ton, lives in the Avenues in North Salt Lake. They've lived there for 35 years. They say first time they've had a ton of grasshoppers. They're wondering why, first of all, and then how do they get rid of them? They've wrecked their flower beds.
The grasshoppers are usually a neighborhood-wide problem. And it's better if the neighborhood as a team goes in to control them.
I was going to say, well, misery does love company.
They do. So in the spring, if you can find, there's a product called Nolobate, N-O-L-O. And it's a fungal disease that the grasshoppers ingest bait. Mm. And it either kills them or makes them so they stop feeding and eventually die.
Oh, wow.
So, but you need to do that for several houses so that you can reduce the population. This time of year, I don't know if it's worth doing anything. But
don't they migrate away?
They do. So they can. They're very mobile. So the other thing that you would look at, if it's just you and the neighbors aren't doing anything, you may have to use an insecticide fairly regularly, so every week to 10 days, so that as the grasshoppers feeds, it kills them. But that's about the only other thing you can do.
They must have had a lot of them. When she says, or he says a ton, to wreck up, you know, their flower beds, that would have to be a lot of grasshoppers.
It would be.
Next person says they want to spray the weeds in their lawn, but they're wondering if it's okay to do it when their lawn is really, really dry. Their water's been off for 2 weeks now.
They can. It won't be as effective. You know, that the weeds are more easily killed when they are watered and happy. But
it's so counterintuitive to me.
Yeah, and they also need to look at the instructions on the particular bottle of lawn weed killer, because a lot of them will say do not apply to drought-stressed lawns. So if we do get some rain next week, you know, after that rainstorm, that would be an ideal time to spray.
All right. Quick break. The number to call with your questions, 801-575-8255. You can text us at 57500. This morning, we are coming to you from the cottages at Harvest Fields. This is in West Point. We are here with Ovation Homes.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com, follow us on Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Good morning, and thank you for joining us for the KSL Greenhouse. Maria Anton with you this morning. The number to call, 801-575-8255. You can also text us at 57500. We are coming to you this morning from the Harvest Fields subdivision, the cottages at Harvest Fields. With us, Amber Weikstra. Amber, thanks for having us out this morning.
Thank you.
Talk for a minute. I mean, it's such a lovely home, but talk for a minute about who your customers are. Who do you hope to please?
So Ovation actually has been building for over 20 years. And where they found it really truly in the marketplace is there wasn't any builder that had chosen that as their niche or their sole focus. And so the owners of our company decided, you know what, that is where we want to focus. So for over 20 years, that is the only product type that Ovation has been putting out. We do have a sister brand under Aspire that he started a few years ago. And it's because of the fact that we were building so many homes for our Ovation clients, and we have such a family-centric culture here in Utah that parents were saying, well, I'd love to have my kids live close by, you know, and so that kind of led us on to the next phase of kind of where our company's gone. But specifically for Ovation, I really love the clientele that we get. Sometimes you have the empty nesters who their last one just graduated from high school and they're ready to, you know, downsize, which I guess, you know, as you look around, this is what downsizing can look like.
Doesn't feel like a downsize.
Doesn't really feel like a downsize,
which
right?
Which is a good thing. It's a smaller home, you know, square footage wise, but doesn't have that feel.
Exactly. So we get a lot of empty nesters that are just kind of to that point. They want to be able to really have more freedom in their life and not be tied to the yards and different, not the gardening is bad, Tom. Like, we love to garden, but they want a smaller space, you know, and so we do a lot of container gardens, and we do a lot of different things in these spaces because in our communities we have the front yards maintained.
Well, with a 55 plus community, traditional gardening to where you have rows of crops, you're having to stoop over to harvest and to pick food and to weed, doesn't make sense. I remember a family that loved to garden, and the last year they gardened was when the dad was laying on his side because that was the only way. So it's time for innovation, like raised beds that are more at waist level and smaller gardens, because there's no need, if there's just two of you, to be putting up 90 quarts of tomatoes. And so for a community like this, those 55 plus communities, I think a smaller gardening space to where you can get enough produce to eat fresh and salads and make a little, you know, pot of salsa or whatever you're doing is great.
Yeah, in fact, we have some clients that built in West Kaysville. I was over visiting the other day, and you know, big fans, of course, out in this area. You've got some really big nurseries, but J&J, of course, is one of the flagship. But they had gone down to J&J, and he had brought this fountain grass. I have never seen fountain grass grow that big, but he took me out in his backyard, and he's got his little fountain, and he's got his tomatoes. He says, "Have you ever seen tomatoes this big?" And they had grown out of the container up the fence, and they're so cute, you know, because they and that's what I love about our clientele is
it's very enduring. They build their own little communities and you know, talk about just true, you know, neighbors. I mean, it's just a wonderful, wonderful place to come and be. And we feel very privileged that we get to design and create a space for them that then they take and turn it into a whole new thing.
Right. We have an open house today. How long does the open house go today?
So we're going to be here with you guys, of course, until 11. And then we're going to take a little bit of a break and go get some lunch. And then we're going to open back up again around 12 and go from 12 to 4 also. So definitely, if you have fans that want to come and see you, they need to come this morning.
Come now.
Come now.
They're still waking up this morning.
I know. That's like great. Me. That's right. Well, we have plenty of space for you to come and see. But then if you don't quite miss it here, you know, this morning, then we will be here this afternoon. And then we'll be starting our model time, of course, until this project sells out.
Okay. So people can actually sign up for appointments later on.
Absolutely. They totally can. You know, I will be here all day. We'll have some others here today that can help talk about the community and give them more information about our product. And sometimes with our buyers too, it's we plant a little bit of a seed and then they turn into fans, and we've got some ovation. We call them Ovation Nation, and they just kind of follow us around a little bit until they're finally ready to move into this type of a home. So, and we love it. Come visit us and just get a feel for what we do.
Right. We'll be here all morning. Let's go to one of our phone callers who's waiting for us here, and that is Kathy in Holiday. Good morning, Kathy. How can we help you?
Oh, yes. Thank you so much for taking my call. I love your program.
Thank you.
This summer earlier, I planted two burning bushes, and the drainage didn't look really good. But so I planted them and made a little pool around, but the water doesn't drain out very fast. It puddles around the trees or the bushes. They're green, but I haven't seen any new growth. And so I'm wondering if I need to replant them, or if there's something else that I might do to get them to grow.
Well, if they're still green, I would leave them alone. If the leaves still look healthy, and see what they do in the spring. The burning bush, honestly, long term, don't like to be grown in a really wet environment. So one thing that you could do is, if they do die out, is maybe swap them out for red twig dogwood. These are a bush that tolerate quite a bit of water, and the clay soil is a little better. And you can find varieties that will get about 4 to 5 feet tall, about as big as those burning bush would have gotten.
Red twig?
Dogwood. Yeah, there's variegated varieties and normal, but some of those you need to be careful on the varieties, because some of them will get 12 feet tall, and some of them get 4 or 5. And so get some of the smaller ones so that they don't overwhelm the space.
Should I not? I've been kind of watering it maybe more than I should. Should I let the ones that I have now dry out a bit more?
Absolutely. So water them in, let them dry out, and then give them a couple days after you water and check the soil. When the soil starts to dry out 3 and 4 inches down, you can water again.
All right. Thank you for your call this morning. We need to take a break for the top of the hour news. The number to call, 801-575-8255. You can text us at 57500.
Two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.